Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers Nation? Happy game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Before we get started, so excited to let you know that today's show is sponsored by Luigi's. And of course, we've got our Luigi's Pizza Player of the Game, the player to keep an eye on Sunday against the Colts. Listen, we don't need to make this any more complicated than it needs to be. It is Malik Willis. And we'll get into the injury designation for Jordan Love and everything like that in just a moment. We'll talk a lot more about Malik Willis in this episode, but there is zero question whatsoever that the player that we need to keep the biggest eye on Sunday is Malik Willis. And it's not obviously going to be hard. He's going to be the quarterback. He's going to have all eyes on him anyway. But this is a player that has to come out and somehow find a way to lead this team to victory against the Colts. You don't want to start the season 0-2. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, listen, this is not an ideal situation. There's no question about it. You don't want Malik coming in his third week with the team and having to start game two to try to avoid going 0-2. But there are a lot of teams that Green Bay could have had on the schedule in week two that this is just not a winnable game. And if they were playing San Fran this week, that's probably just not a winnable game. If they were playing, you know, Houston this week, it's probably just not a winnable game. I'm not saying that they're going to beat Indianapolis, but do I think there's an avenue for success there? I do. Do I think that Malik Willis can lead them to a victory? Maybe not as the driving force, maybe not winning because of Malik Willis, but winning with Malik Willis. And I think that's what we're going to be watching for in this game. So we'll talk a lot more about Malik Willis in this episode, but no question, he is the Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this particular game. Speaking of which, Saturday night had my first ever Big Daddy Garlic Dipper from Luigi's. True story. And they hit a freaking home run again. That was the first time I ever had the garlic dippers. And we had spaghetti for dinner. We made the dippers with it. Fantastic. And the sauce is just incredible that you can dip it in. I have a hot take, by the way. If you have a big dipper, or like a garlic stick or whatever you want to call it, and then you dip it in the marinara, that just becomes cheese pizza, right? Like if you have the cheese, you have the bread, and then you dip it in the sauce, that's just a cheese pizza. But I digress. It's delicious. Make sure to check it out. And thank you as always to Luigi's for sponsoring today's show. Also, a huge shout out to Alex Clemens for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day podcast member. Appreciate that a ton as well. If you have not yet checked out those Pack-A-Day podcast memberships, make sure to do so. I lost track of how much bonus content we had this week. I think at least 5 episodes. It may have even been more than that, or at least right around there. Plus, not to mention the members-only Q&A. There's a ton of stuff out there, so make sure to check that out. From a roster move standpoint, Packers activated Sean Clifford. There was not ever really a question about that. Even if Jordan Love had been somehow miraculously good enough to play in this game, they still would have activated Sean Clifford. I don't think there would have been any doubt about that. So Sean Clifford activated, and then Jordan Love his injury designation was changed to doubtful. We knew this for the most part. I kept open the door a crack, and I mean a small sliver of a crack, but at the end of the day, we all felt like this was probably not going to be a situation where Jordan came in and played this upcoming week. Yeah, by all accounts, Diana Rossini and Ian Rappaport, amongst others, he's not going to play. We know he's not going to play. They might as well have just ruled him out, quite frankly, but he's listed as doubtful. He will be out. He will be inactive for this game. It will be Malik Willis as the starter and Sean Clifford as the backup. Meanwhile, the Indianapolis Colts elevated Gerard Avery. Now, that is somebody that could potentially take the place of Kwity Paye. Kwity Paye did practice on Friday, so we'll see if he's able to go. Could just be additional depth. We'll have to kind of wait and see. And then they activated Ronnie Harrison Jr. as well, who they just recently brought back to the practice squad. He could actually legitimately play a big role in this game. That's what's going to kind of be interesting with the injury to Blackman in the secondary. It could be Ronnie Harrison that's playing a bunch there. So those are the changes in rosters for both the Packers and the Colts. Nothing super surprising from either side. And that gets us to are keys to the game. What I'm going to be watching for, what will ultimately decide this fate. I got 12 things that I want to go to, and then we will get to the prediction. The first one is worth keeping an eye on an hour and a half before the game starts, and that's the inactive list. And there are two big names that we need to watch, one for the Colts and one for the Packers. From a Packer side of things, Jaden Reed. He practiced on Friday, limited. I would guess that this is a situation where he is able to give it a go, but you never quite know for sure. You never know if there's a flare-up before the game or he tests it out and it just doesn't feel right. Jaden Reed could potentially have a very big role in this offense with Malik Willis as a starting quarterback. And you want and need every single playmaker at their best to help out Malik Willis in this game. So Jaden Reed's status, not just is he healthy or I should say active or inactive, but is he Jaden Reed? We saw a healthy Jaden Reed against Philly, and that dude can make a massive impact in very minimal touches. So if he is not 100%, how much does that affect him? And of course, if he's out of the game entirely, that would change the game plan quite a bit as well. So Jaden Reed for the Packers and then DeForest Buckner for Indianapolis. All signs point to that Buckner is likely going to play in this game, but it's possible that the Colts could be using some gamesmanship on their side of things. And maybe they know that he's not going to play and they're saying, yeah, we're confident and we're optimistic and everything like that. Maybe he doesn't. He is a huge cog in the middle of that Colts defense. He is sort of the straw that stirs the drink and what kind of makes that Colts defense go. He is a beast on the inside. He is a nightmare mismatch, in my opinion, for either Jordan Morgan and or Sean Ryan. And quite frankly, Josh Myers as well. That's a big time advantage for the Colts. So if he can't go, or same thing like we talked about with Jaden Reed, if he goes, but he's 60%, 70%, 80%, and he's not 100%, how much does that affect DeForest Buckner? And if he does go, how many snaps can he play? Is he on a snap count? Is he on 15 to 20? Or does he have his full normal snaps that he can go out there and play? So all these things are going to be worth keeping an eye on as we get the inactives list. And then as we see Jaden Reed, DeForest Buckner, if they are active, how effective are they and how many snaps are each of those guys playing? And then, of course, number two on the list is Malik Willis. And we talked about it, Luigi's Pizza Player of the Week. But how does Malik Willis navigate this game? Number one on my list here for Willis specifically is run. And I'm not saying from like a scramble every play or do the Brett Hundley in college where it's one read and run. I'm saying there needs to be a designed piece of this offense that gets Malik Willis on the run. And I think this can be a legitimate weapon for the Packers in this game. So many teams are unwilling to utilize their mobile quarterbacks in a run-heavy sort of style because they know that that quarterback cannot take the rigors and wear and tear of 16 games, 17 games through the course of the season, taking those hits over and over and over again when you're more of a mobile running quarterback. But Green Bay is hopeful that they're going to get Jordan Love back either next week or maybe the following week, and they don't need Malik Willis to take 17 games of hits. They need him to take one, maybe two games of hits. And I think you can utilize some quarterback power. And I'm not saying, by the way, that Malik Willis needs to go and take these hits. Like, you can still slide. I'm all for him being cautious or getting out of bounds and not taking those hits. You don't want to all of a sudden have a Malik Willis injury early in this game and then Sean Clifford's your only QB for the remainder of the game. That's not the direction you want to go in either, but there are ways to make it so that you can utilize his legs and make it so that the Colts have to have an extra person that is dedicated to making sure that they're sort of spying him, just like Green Bay had to do with Jalen Hurts, and now they'll have to do with Anthony Richardson this weekend. Like, you have to be careful with mobile quarterbacks of, hey, we have to account for this guy at all times because he could take off running. And if Malik Willis can do that throughout the course of the game, whether it be through designed run plays on bootlegs where he can get out and utilize his mobility, however you want to do it. But I do think the running game for Malik Willis himself, not just handing the ball off, but read option. And again, bootlegs where he can either pass or run and just getting him on the move, I think is going to be a very significant piece of how they utilize and make Malik Willis successful in this game. And then he has to come up with a big throw or two. There's probably not a world in which Willis just goes out and it's just like, you know, dominating, or Green Bay is just constantly winning through the majority of this game. If Green Bay is going to win this game, it's probably going to be in a competitive game, meaning you know, it's probably a very close affair where you're going to have to come up with some big plays. I don't think Malik Willis needs to go out and again, be the guy that wins this game for Green Bay, but there's probably going to be a time in this game where he has to come up with a big third down throw or come up with a red zone touchdown or come up with something where he can really put his stamp on this game and say, hey, in that big moment when we needed it most, I was able to come up with something. And I think that's what Malik Willis will ultimately be judged on in this game. And a couple of those clutch moments, can he come up big? And he's going to need to. In all sincerity, I think he's going to have to come up with a play or two in big moments if Green Bay wants to be successful in this game. And for the most important thing from Malik Willis is you have to avoid turnovers and try as best you can. It's been a huge issue for him, but avoid sacks as well. You know, you can probably put together a cohesive, complementary game plan from offense, defense, special teams, where you're going to, you know, be probably a little bit more conservative on offense. You're going to take, the defensive side of the ball is going to really have to be the one that steps up and holds the Colts to minimal points in this one to give yourself a puncher's chance on offense to score enough points to win. And special teams is going to have to do their job as well. But for Malik, he cannot turn the ball over and give the Colts additional opportunities or opportunities in plus positions. If you do that, it's going to be a recipe for disaster. So he's got to avoid turnovers and take care of the football. And then same thing here with the Malik Willis conversation is, can Matt LaFleur make this simple for him? You got to be able to get a couple of these reads where wide receivers are just open. And Matt was very creative, I thought, in Philly with a couple of the plays that he was able to design open to get some open looks. You're going to need that with Malik this week. You know, the heavy lifting cannot be on the quarterback. In some games in the Packers' recent history with Jordan and Aaron and Brett, the heavy lifting can be on the quarterback. In this one, it can't. You got to be able to get him some easy looks. You got to be able to get him where it's not too complicated or complex. If you can get like that Tucker Kraft play where he's running wide open on a play, Matt needs to hit a few of those in this game because you're going to be behind the eight ball playing with a quarterback who just got here three weeks ago and has struggled in his starts in the NFL. It's going to be a struggle. It is, but I think Matt can come up with a couple of plays that makes it simple for Malik Willis to look really good and be successful without it actually having to be super complex. Week one is officially in the books, and while it didn't maybe go the way many of us were hoping, it was still great to have football back in our lives. Now, we're on to week two, and there is still plenty of winning to be done, especially with Prize Picks. Right now, one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. And trust me, you are not going to want to miss this deal on Prize Picks. What I love about Prize Picks is that you can win 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. And Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still live. So obviously, I'll be going with Caleb Williams again in week 2, but I have an oddly confident feeling about Malik Willis as well, especially when it comes to rushing yards. Whoever you choose, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, most people don't tell you that one of the hardest parts of becoming an adult is trying to actually kickstart your credit. Young adults get set up with credit cards so early and so many people immediately start to accumulate debt as they begin their college careers. I know that's exactly what happened to me. And this is why I wish Kickoff was around when I was in credit trouble. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and its results. Here's how simple it is. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. And as for those results, users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points in the first month. And what's even better, there's no credit check, and you can cancel at any time. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there and has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's kickoff without the C, getkikoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate offer. Offer applies to new kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Number three on my list. Can they basically play the exact opposite of how they played in Brazil? And what I mean by that is, one, you have to avoid the 39-plus mistakes that we counted from last week's game. You have to play a sound brand of football. These penalties, missed tackles, missed throws, drops, we can go on turnovers, we can go on and on. That stuff will get you killed in this game. What happens when you have a backup quarterback like this with Malik Willis is it's not to say that like Green Bay can't find a way to win. They clearly can. This is a game that I do believe Green Bay can find a way to win in, but it limits the ways in which you can win. It limits your opportunities to win. With Jordan Love, you can argue like they have just so many more avenues to victory. They could win in a blowout. With Malik Willis, there are far fewer paths to victory. I would be pretty stunned if Green Bay won this game in a blowout. It's probably going to be close. And if it's a blowout, I would say it probably did not go well for Green Bay. So there's less avenues for success, and they have to avoid any of those major catastrophic mistakes or just the consistent little paper cut ones that Green Bay experienced time and time and time and time again in Brazil. And then same thing as the opposite of Brazil, being more efficient. Green Bay had moments of efficiency specifically on offense, but on the whole, defensively, offensively, even on special teams, it was not an efficient day. It all needs to get cleaned up, and it just needs to be a better brand of football for 60 minutes. No two ways around it. And then the same thing again here in the playing the opposite in Brazil. Can you take advantage of your point production opportunities? There will be field goals that they attempt, and Braden Narveson has to make them. There will be opportunities in the red zone, and you got to come up with touchdowns. There will be opportunities maybe for a big play here or there, whether it's on offense, defense, or special teams. Can you take advantage of it and turn that into points? If Green Bay has another game like last week where they have opportunities to put points on the board and they don't, it's just a recipe for failure. So Green Bay, when they get these opportunities, can't miss field goals, can't miss extra points, can't miss two-point conversions, can't leave points on the field, have to get touchdowns when you're in the red zone, because you're just probably going to have fewer and fewer of those opportunities than what you would with Jordan normally at QB. So when you get them, have to take advantage of it. Number four, offensive line. This is a huge game for the Packers offensive line. And this goes with the running game and everything. We know that Green Bay is going to have to run the ball and be efficient running the ball. But to me, it starts on the O-line. And I don't know what they're going to do at right guard, whether it's going to be Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, both, who starts, who doesn't, who plays more, who plays less. I don't really care. It's just who's ever in there, whatever five guys are in there, they have to get the job done. This is not the most completely menacing defensive front that Green Bay is going to face this year. Yes, we went over DeForest Buckner. That is going to be a tough matchup for Green Bay, right? There's no two ways around it. Like that will be somebody that has the ability to impact the game if, in fact, he does play. But DeForest Buckner is banged up. You've got Quiddy Pay, who is banged up. Grover Stewart's good, but he's primarily a run defender. And then you've got their first-round pick, Leatu Leitu, who's in his second game in his career. I'm not saying that a line here of Pay, Leitu, Stewart, and Buckner isn't good. It is. But you've got varying degrees here of health with Pay and Buckner. Stewart's not a big pass rush guy, and Leitu is just, again, in game two of his first year in the NFL. This is a matchup that I think Green Bay can win, and they need to win, because Josh Jacobs is going to have some running alleys. He's going to have to get going early in this game, and Malik Willis needs time. He is not going to be probably the most efficient at getting the ball out of his hands. He sometimes holds the ball a little bit too long, so you got to give him a little bit of that time. And if they don't, again, that could be a situation where Malik Willis ends up taking a lot of sacks and hopefully not having any like sack fumble situations. But it's this offensive line has to be on their A game in this one and providing both Malik Willis and the running game plenty of opportunities. Number five, these Packers wide receivers against the Colts defensive backs. It's really difficult because with the Colts issues and depth in the secondary, you really wish Jordan was out there to take advantage of it. But On the same token, with Willis, at least you're thinking you're going to get some good looks against the secondary and that these wide receivers can take advantage and really win their one-on-one matchups to get open and to make things very difficult for the defense and to give Malik Willis some of those easy throws that I feel confident he will complete. But whether it's Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Bo Melton, Dontayvion Wicks, I don't care who it is, they have to win those matchups. This is a beat-up secondary. Jalen Jones, Kenny Moore will be two of your starters in the nickel with Kenny Moore being in the slot. I don't even know who ultimately starts at the other corner. Maybe Dallas Flowers. I don't know who they're going to go with there. Nick Cross and maybe Ronnie Harrison Jr. at safety. This is a beat-up secondary that was already razor-thin. This is a big-time mismatch, and Malik Willis is going to have to find a way to take advantage of it and exploit it because these wide receivers should have the ability to get open in this secondary if they're doing their job. And I think they just have the mismatches there. Number six, can Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave be used as a safety valve? When you are a young quarterback, which yes, I know, I know Malik Willis has had experience in this league and he's had some starts, but he is still a young, relatively inexperienced QB. When you have that, tight ends can be your best friend. Especially somebody like Luke Musgrave, who's 6'6", where if you do have the Colts defense bearing down on you and you need to find, can Luke Musgrave be that check down in the middle of the field, the guy that you throw it up to and he goes up and gets it? Tucker Kraft, same thing. These are big tight ends who can box out a little bit. And sometimes there's going to be a little bit more panic with a backup QB. So if you're going to panic and you're going to all of a sudden vomit up a ball, vomit it up to your 6'6 tight ends. Like that's the best thing that you can hope for in that scenario. Hopefully there's no vomit whatsoever, but if there is, vomit it up to those tight ends and hope that they can bail you out and make it so at minimum, at least there's not an interception. I know Musgrave had maybe a little bit of an issue with that last week. That was not a jump ball, but either way, I digress. Those tight ends need to be the safety valve. Get some easy check downs, hopefully, to those guys, and then some maybe run after the catch opportunity, specifically with Tucker Kraft. Number seven, have to stay on balance offensively. If this gets to be a situation where Green Bay is down and Malik Willis just has to throw a ton, that's going to be tough. That's going to be very, very tough. You're probably just too far behind the eight ball at that point. And at the same time, I don't think Green Bay can go into this game just being like, well, Malik's the backup. We don't have any faith in him. We're just going to run the ball a lot. Should they effectively establish the run? Yeah, that's probably a good idea, but be balanced. You know, whether it's wide receiver screens, whether it's some shot plays down the field, you got to keep that Colts defense honest and you have to show that you can attack them in different ways. That's just modern NFL. You cannot just do one thing. And I think that they can come up with some very creative stuff, but this is an offense that needs to stay balanced and Malik Willis needs to show that he can go out and help win with his arm too. And it's not just, hey, can we run the football down their throats enough to win? I don't think that is a recipe for success either. So it has to remain balanced between pass and throw and make it hopefully a little bit unpredictable for that Colts defense. Number eight, the stars need to step up on defense. And that kind of can go in the category of being opposite from a week ago as well. We saw a couple big plays from Xavier McKinney, but Jaire Alexander, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, those four in particular have to play a much better football game than what they did in Brazil against Philadelphia. Those are their big time players. I don't care. I said this earlier this week. If it's Dom Capers, Mike Pettine, Joe Barry, it doesn't matter. Jeff Hafley, any of these guys, if your star players go out and play a poor football game, like you're the coach's coach, you have to put them in the situation to be successful. You have to have a good strategy. You have to have a good game plan. But if you put together the best possible game plan and the unbelievable scheme and give everything that they need to be successful, and those guys don't go out and have a good game, if they aren't playing well, your defense is just playing from too far behind. You need your stars to play well in the NFL. You can't have it be negative grades for Jaire, negative grades for Kenny, negative grades for Smith, and I think a very small negative for Gary. Like, those guys have to be the reason that you win, not trying to overcome their deficiencies on defense. Number nine, have to limit the home runs. I'm not quite as far on Paul Breidel on this one of maybe saying like it needs to be a completely passive defense. I think you have to get after the quarterback a little. I think you need to cause some chaos, but there's a lot of truth to what Paul is saying. This is one of those games where you need to make them matriculate the ball down the field, put together 15 play drives for 80 yards, and not give them those explosives. And that's both in the passing game and in the running game. We know Richardson has the dynamic arm as a passer. He can also be dynamic as a runner. And of course, Jonathan Taylor can be super dynamic as well. So you cannot allow the explosives in this game. Just can't do it. And it's hard because Taylor and Richardson both have a lot of that explosive playmaking ability. But you got to make it so that these guys go the length of the field. Hopefully get them to settle for some field goals. I'm not saying full bend but don't break, but there's a little bend but don't break mentality in this one against Indianapolis. Number 10, Braden Narveson. We sort of talked about this a little bit in our segment where we talked about, you know, just avoiding mistakes and making sure that you take advantage of your point production opportunities. But Braden Narveson's got to make his kicks in this one. Cannot leave those points on the field. I don't even care if it's a 53-yarder, 45, 26, extra point. Just can't leave those points on the field. So this is a big game. First home game ever for Braden Narveson. We'll see if he kind of gets the swirling Lambo winds down on the field, figure it out a little bit. But either way, I still have faith in Braden Narveson, and he's going to have to come up big and probably make a couple big kicks in this one. Number 11, no superheroes needed. This is not a situation where any player needs to go out and win this game for Green Bay. It just takes everyone doing their job. This is a very Bill Belichickian, do your job sort of game. If the offensive line does their job, avoids the penalties, avoids the big pressures, Malik Willis is going to be having a much better opportunity, as are the running backs. Josh Jacobs can go out and have a good game. That's going to make things easier for Willis. Same thing with the wide receivers and tight ends. If they can go out and get open, that's going to make things easier for Willis. If the defense can do a much better job than what they did of getting some three and outs and getting some turnovers and all those sort of things, that's going to make things easier for Malik Willis. So it's not any one player. It's not any one person. It's not any one phase. Just everyone playing a good brand of football and ultimately finding a way to come up with a win, which brings us to number 12, by any means necessary. Just get into Lambeau, play that 60-minute game, and find a way to steal that win one way or the other. I understand why the Colts are favored. I understand it's going to be a very difficult matchup with Malik Willis at QB. Nobody's feeling sorry for Green Bay. It's definitely not the situation that they want to be in, but there are opportunities in this one to go out and win and just figure out that one way. That Dr. Strange holding up the finger, that one way. I don't care what you need to do. Just get that victory and then head to Tennessee next week to try to go to 2-1. But got to get to 1-1 first. And like I said, by any means necessary. So my 12 keys are 12 things I'm going to be watching. The inactives before the game, specifically Jaden Reed and DeForest Buckner. Malik Willis, of course. Can you play the opposite of how you played in Brazil? Avoid the mistakes, the lack of point production, etc. The offensive line is going to be key in this one. They got to be able to stop those Colts defenders on the defensive line and at the edge rusher positions. Wide receivers have got to get open against this weak Colts secondary and give Malik Willis some easy throws. Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave are going to have to be the safety valve for Willis when maybe things don't go according to plan. Number 7, stay on balance offensively. 8, your stars need to step up on defense. Number 9, limit the home runs for the Colts offense. Number 10, Braden Narveson's going to have to come up clutch. Number 11, no superheroes needed. And number 12, by any means necessary. My prediction, Packers 17, Colts 16. I think the Packers eke out a 1-point victory. And I think this is going to be a situation where Colts get one more scoring drive, 1 touchdown, 3 field goals. Green Bay gets 1 fewer, 1 field goal, 2 touchdowns. By the basic back of the napkin math, that means that Green Bay wins by 1 point. I will take it, steal it by any means necessary, and hopefully the Packers can find a way to come out with a win. Either way, should be really fun to watch. Home opener is always amazing. Going to be beautiful weather at Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hope you all enjoy your Sunday filled with football. I should be back for a live post-game show. I'm hoping 4:30 p.m., 5 o'clock p.m., somewhere in there. And of course, tomorrow you can check out the full breakdown right here on the Packaday podcast with myself, Wisco Grant, and Perry Goldstein. Super excited about Grant joining the team. I think you're really going to enjoy him and our conversations with Perry and I. So make sure to check it all out. Like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Make sure to check out those Packaday podcast YouTube memberships. But most importantly, get out there, cheer on a Packers victory. Lambeau needs to be loud, specifically on defense, but hopefully we get a great crowd and hopefully the Green Bay Packers give that crowd something to cheer for through the majority of this game. I will see you all very soon. Enjoy the day, everyone, but until next time, and as always, oh, whoa, almost forgot. Almost pulled a Andy faux pas here. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Itaka, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, Love and Football, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, and Jay Foreman. Now I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.